It's your call.
1850 715 922.
Or text 51552.
The Colm Hayes Show on 2FM.
That was some windy night last night, wasn't it? I'm just looking at pictures of the storm there hitting Scotland with some fatalities as well. Just absolutely crazy. Literally every train in Scotland has been cancelled or disrupted. Roads are in bits. I know Sligo got hit heavy. Tides coming in, very heavy waves coming in from the Atlantic and around the east coast as well. Last night, there was just things flying around. I'm sure if you heard it in your back garden or around the front, there were just bits of trees. And if you'd left anything out, any sort of furniture or whatever, it was flying around as well. Pretty severe. In England, the winds hit 142 miles per hour. 142 miles, gusts of 142 miles. In Scotland, there's 80,000 houses without power. We might be like that after December 16th, but nothing to do with the weather. Yeah. Anyway, quite severe. And so be careful out there. They reckon it's going to be like that for the next couple of days. And then temperatures apparently are going to plummet a little bit. Also, last night, I was watching, I was flicking in between bits and pieces of the football because I couldn't get any of it live. So I was on to Gillette Sports Special on Sky. I just thought last night is probably, we could, if you're big into your sports and big into your soccer, think back to last night at the end of the league, because I think it is going to be the defining evening for an awful lot of clubs. I mean, Liverpool, Suarez, the guy that wanted to leave Liverpool, the guy that said he hates Liverpool, the guy that said he'll never play for Liverpool, hits four goals. Amazing. Tottenham just grabbed themselves back up with Fulham. And Chelsea, what did they do last night? I mean, Mourinho, as he said, he felt like he was going to have a heart attack last night. Chelsea beating Sunderland 4-3. And because I'm a Man United supporter, and City as well, we mentioned City, a good win for them, 3-2 against West Brom. And obviously because I'm a Man United supporter, what the hell is going on? David Moyes, there he is in Old Trafford, his new house, brings his old mates along. The Everton team come along to Old Trafford and they beat Man United 1-0, first time they've beaten them in 22 years. But I think such a significant result last night. How does a team suddenly, we were only talking about this earlier on, and saying about the, you know, Kilkenny hurling team and many teams at the top, that just, what is it, there's one tiny little thing you change, one tiny little bit, and then suddenly your house of cards falls. Like, I know changing the manager isn't such a tiny thing for Man United, but you would imagine that the establishment behind it and the players are such amazing quality that they wouldn't have collapsed just because a new manager comes in. I'd say sports psychologists are having a field day on this one. I remember talking to a sports, I think we've talked to him on air here a couple of months ago, and how important it is actually to get into the psyche of these players that something like the manager and the entire team can collapse. Now you're looking at United 12 points off the bottom and 12 points off the top. Hey, you're talking about teams like Kilkenny and other great teams over the years as well. Is it inevitable? Does it happen? Is it just that sort of natural cycle? Eventually you will no longer be the best and something will just happen. Something will just click and then bang, you're gone. Look at Arsenal. Anyway, I just thought last night, looking at the results, looking at the various results last night and the way that especially City did last night, great result for Arsenal, amazing result for Liverpool, and to see Chelsea come for the way they did against Sunderland and then United collapse. I just thought, do you know what, we should remember this day, Wednesday, December the 4th, that's the night, obviously, of all the games, because I think that's when it all changed. How does a team, I don't know, I'm sure there's a psychologist out there, a sports psychologist. I mean, does every single player deal with David Moyes coming into the dressing room differently? Or was there such a bond with Alex Ferguson, or was he such a tyrant that they just played so amazingly and now there's a little bit of discontent in the camp? It's a really interesting one, isn't it? If you're a sports supporter, you'll be actually thinking, that's, yeah, okay, how does that happen in just one day? Now, also, Nadia Ford. We've spoken to Nadia Ford many times here on the show. Nadia, actually, we spoke to her last week down in Brown Thomas because she's part of the pantomime season. And also, she sang the national anthem in the Aviva Stadium before a couple of the soccer games kicked off. Well, it looks like now she's going to have a pretty good Christmas, because the Nadia Ford calendar, I didn't even know people still bought calendars. I really thought, I thought that just gone out of business completely. But no, it is still big business. And the Nadia Ford calendar looks like it is going to be the biggest calendar for Christmas. Who buys calendars? Do you still buy calendars? Who do you buy calendars for? Is it for the lads? Is it the lads buy each other Nadia Ford calendars? Because apparently Nadia Ford is up there. She's even doing quite well in the UK. She's beating Helen Flanagan, the Helen Flanagan calendar. What? Okay. And she's trailing behind also. Actually, Kelly Brook is at 8th. Cheryl Cole. And the only way is Essex Girls are at the two top spots. The Cheryl Cole calendar. Do you actually ask for that? Would you buy that for your partner? Would you buy that for your boyfriend? You buy the Cheryl Cole? I presume if it's a girl, Daddy Ford, Cheryl Cole, and any of the girls there, you're buying it for a guy, aren't you? I just didn't know that calendars still existed. But that's Nadia Ford's calendar. And then today in the papers, here's another calendar. And this is a big thing that's happened in the last number of years, isn't it? This is the charity calendar, which, okay, great idea, raising money for charity, absolutely. But what do? You get your kit off. That's the idea, and then you just sort of, very cleverly, you don't see the rude bits. You know, you're holding something over the rude bits. In this one, I can see an Irish flag held over this guy's rude bits, and a box of chocolates over another girl's rude bits, and that's it. So you get your kit off, but you just don't completely show everything. And this is Munro's Tavern, which is in Galway. The employees of well-known Galway's hotspot Munro Tavern set tongues wagging in the city of the tribes when they dared to bear all for charity. Apparently the idea came from somebody in an NUI Galway who noticed that all the male and female staff in this pub had killer figures. And then she said, hey, why don't we all take our clothes off to raise funds for Cancer Care West? And they did. And you can buy that every single year. I mean, this is the classic one, the Ryanair one, but every single year there are calendars as well where people take their kit off. And it is for charity, and it's understandable, but the big thing is you got to take your clothes off and then just cover the bits a little bit. I'd love to know if you're ever involved in one of those. Give us a shout, 1850 715 922. Maybe you have a calendar ready to go this Christmas, and maybe you had to take your bits off. But also, maybe to take your clothes off and cover your bits. There's another calendar as well, which apparently is huge at the moment. And these are the unusual, bizarre calendars that you actually create for a friend. And you can do it online. You can go down, there's a couple of places around town that you bring in your own photos, or it's a little unique design, a little unique idea for the calendar as well. And people seem to be doing those as well. I'd love to, if you're doing any sort of calendar, is it as big as people are talking about? The calendars? Give us a shout. 1850 715 922. If you took your kit off for a calendar, yeah, all right. If you're buying a Nadia Ford calendar, are calendars still big? Text us at 51552, or you can email us column@rte.ie, and Twitter at columnhayes2fm. Love to talk to you. We're here all the way till 1 o'clock.
Someone when the need's so strong, when they're gone, you don't know how to go on. So the whole world is stuck in a moment, standing still until they come back. You accept that they've got things to do, but sometimes in the end, there's nothing left for you. If hurt is missing you, baby, I've done too much of it lately. Say we're through. Deep inside, you feel the same way I do. Might as well turn around and just send this, 'cause it's hard trying to stay mad. I could tell you that you can't stay here, knowing just as soon as you disappear that I'll be missing you, baby. Soon as you get up and you walk away.
Every minute's like a forever and a day for you.
It is the Colm Hayes Show. It's 2FM. If you want to get to us, 1850-715-922 or text at 51552. Colm, love calendars. Made one for my sister's birthday and she just loved it. Easy to make on your computer. Apparently, yeah, if you've got loads of photos, you can. There's a special place you go to. I think you download a bit of software. It costs you about 10 quid or something and off you go and you make a few calendars. And this sort of personalised calendar. That's what we're talking about. Quirky, unusual, personalised calendars as well. Cliff Richard was a number one last year in calendars, was he? He didn't expose himself, did he? God, could you imagine? Calendars, yeah, Colm, love them. Every year I can't wait until I come into the shops. The most difficult part is choosing one. Is it? I have to have space to write things on it, and even better if there's a column for each person of the family. Also, have to have a pocket diary. But naked people on calendars, down with that sort of thing. It's always to do with charity. Colm, I buy a Staffordshire Bull Terrier calendar every year. Okay. Siobhan, Colm, it was the same with Ferrari in F1, the Schumacher dominance from 2000 to 2005. Oh, I thought that was going to be about calendars. No, it's about Formula 1, the Schumacher dominance from 2000 to 2005 made the sport so boring. Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, there were certain times that people just became so dominant. Schumacher is one, yeah. You think of Tiger Woods as well at one stage. Ooh, how the mighty fall. In tennis, there's always one star for a bit, you know, Roger Federer for a number of years, and he's the man to beat. In snooker as well, for ages, it was the same. I saw Steve Davis getting knocked out of the jungle last night. He was the man there completely at one stage. It is interesting. You get there to the top, and the fact that you can maintain that number one position for so long, when there's so many other professionals knocking at your heels. Colm, sports psychology plays a huge part in every sport. Tennis, golf, etc. Look at how Rory McIlroy played when things in his private life weren't going so well. Yeah, same with Tiger Woods. Colm, I was in a pub last night and they had three live matches on. I had a great time. Where were the games? They weren't on Sky Sports or BT Sports or whatever. I was trying to look at them. I didn't see them. All right. We will take a break. If you want to get in on anything at all, give us a text, 51552, and we will talk about yesterday being the first Missing Persons Day here in Ireland. We'll talk about that right after these. There we are.
90 to 92.
2FM.
Live music with 2FM.
I've seen fire and
Aiken Promotions presents James Taylor.
I've seen sunny days that are
live at the O2 Dublin,
end.
September 23rd.
And I'll be there, yeah. You've got a friend.
Tickets go on sale this Friday at 9 a.m.
How sweet it is to be loved by
For
you.
More, see the Irish Times.
Live music. With 2FM.
You can feel it creeping in. Panic. Will you get the right gifts for everyone? And when? Then you remember, it's open late and you start to relax. Hamleys for the kids. Michael Kors for her. Superdry for the boys and girls. So many possibilities and they're all waiting for you. Dundrum Town Centre. Escape the ordinary. This week, Dundrum Town Centre is open until 9 Monday to Friday and until 8 Saturday and Sunday.
At rte.ie.
The Colm Hayes Show on 2FM.
All right, 17 minutes after 11 o'clock. Dermot Brown. Dermot, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Colm.
Dermot is chairperson of Missing in Ireland Support Service, a voluntary organisation and a registered charity. And yesterday, a significant day, it was the first National Missing Persons Day.
That's correct. It was a wonderful occasion. We were a bit apprehensive going up because we didn't know what form it would take, and obviously it turned out to be a great success and a highly emotional day. Lots of tears.
Bring me back to the start of Missing in Ireland Support Service. When did it all start?
Oh, Lord, we're going back. November 2003, we started the organisation, and at that stage, there was really nothing else in operation at the time, and we were trying to fill a gap. And there was a missing persons helpline, which at that stage basically just took the details and come back to us when you find the person. But we decided that we would work on the basis we'd try and provide some emotional support or just somebody to talk to. In 2005, the helpline the plug was pulled on it because of financial issues, and we restored the helpline in 2008, and we've had it running ever since.
And what brought you to this, Dermot?
Well, we had a family tragedy. My son was missing for 13 weeks, and after that, unfortunately, he was found deceased. But, you know, while there's many organisations out there dealing with the subject of suicide, there was nobody dealing with the subject of missing persons. And we had the double whammy of the missing person and then the suicide. So I decided, well, that's the area I want to get involved in. And thankfully, it's... There's a lot more interest in the subject now, which was, I suppose, brought to the fore yesterday.
Well, I suppose as well with, I mean, as you're dealing with even that 13 weeks, and there are families still dealing, and we know many of the high-profile cases, there's families dealing with missing persons from their family for the last 20, 25, 30 years nearly. I mean, Philip Cairns is one in particular, though, that we all remember.
Certainly, time doesn't heal things like that, you know, whether it's 25 days or 25 years, it's still the same. You still wake up every morning hoping that they're going to return or that you get some news, you know. In the absence of any news, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, the old brain kicks in and it can conjure up situations that are a lot more hurtful than real life is.
So what do you actually do? How do you step in? Is it getting information out as soon as you can? I mean, obviously, when you think back to your own personal case, and I'm very sorry to hear about that, but is it that if you'd got information out or there was information available, something may have been avoided?
I don't think it would have been avoided. It probably would have just shortened the torment for us.
Okay,
You know, my son, I think, would have been one of the first people to start the old email. What he did basically was he put up a photograph of Derek and sent it to all his contacts on email and asked them to do the same. And I recall after about 2 weeks getting phone calls from Australia to know, was this for real? You know, so that was before Facebook was around. So in that way, the social media obviously is the way to get the news out there.
Yeah.
It's important that it be got out there quickly at the moment. But then you have to think that there's so many people going missing that we don't want to be overwhelmed. For instance, there is a website in Australia dealing with missing persons, and they were sending out so many alerts that Facebook took them down as being spam. And it took them a number of days to confirm that they were actually a genuine agency and to put them back up on the air again. So, you know, in Ireland we have approximately 8,000 reports every year. So it's quite a lot. It's quite a lot. It's a huge problem.
Of the 8,000 a year, how many generally are found within the year?
Well, of the 8,000, I think there's the true figure is around 4,000. You know, there would be quite a few repeat runaways within that figure. So if you work on a figure of 4,000, at the end of the year, it averaged between 50 and 60 people untraced at the end of the year.
And as I said yesterday, you had the mother of Philip Cairns, Jojo Dollard's sister was there, sister of Fiona Penda was there. I mean, do they still hang on to hope? I suppose you have to, do you?
You have to hope. Now, in some cases, obviously, they have come to the conclusion that it's a body that will be returned.
Yeah.
You know, in other cases, they're hoping that the person themselves will walk back in. And really, what we will be saying to them is to hold on to that hope until you get the knock on the door telling you one way or another what has happened, you know. There have been cases there of people turning up after 20, 30 years.
Mm.
They just went away, and the intention was there that they would contact the family. Maybe after a week, maybe after 2 weeks, and just 1 week borrowed another, and the next thing it was 30 years, and then it just hadn't happened.
Mm.
And they just arrived home, and so you should never give up hope.
And again, as you said, in some cases, it's a body. It's been able to, you know, bury their loved one. It's what we do, and it's been able to know that they're there, and we can visit them when we can. So that also must be hugely a concern as well for so many people.
Well, closure is the main thing we're looking for there. You know, whether they get the body or the person back, it brings closure.
Yeah.
It allows them to move on. If you have a death in the family, obviously there's a grave you can visit. If you have somebody missing in the family, there's nowhere you can go. You just don't know where they are. So it just sits there.
If somebody, and I mean, there's a Facebook campaign at the moment going on about a girl in Blanchardstown who's gone missing. And is that your phone?
It is, sorry about that.
Okay, no, you're okay.
No, it's okay. It's gone. I'm sitting out in the middle of the windy countryside at the moment on the mobile. Unfortunately, I have two mobiles.
All right, it is windy. if somebody is in the situation where they feel somebody has gone missing, I mean, how soon do you need to react to something like that, and what should you do?
Immediately, if you think that they are in danger. This there's a perception out there that you have to wait 24 or 48 hours. That is not the case. Mm. Once you suspect that somebody has gone missing and may be in danger, if you know, depending on the circumstances of the gone missing, you should report the matter to the Gardaí immediately. Obviously, you should take some action yourself too, because the guards, while they will work towards trying to find the person, they have limited resources. So a lot of the donkey work has to be done by the family themselves. So if they contact ourselves or look up our website there, we have details on what they can do while they're waiting on the Gardaí to respond. Yeah. But certainly it should be reported immediately.
And should it be reported to somebody like yourselves as well?
Well, they can certainly
help. I'm just wondering, where does the helpline come in?
Well, the helpline comes in, basically, they have to ring the Gardaí anyway to make an official report. As I said, there are things that they can be doing themselves, and if they ring us, we can guide them through what's possible and what's practical in the circumstances of the case. Because, you know, it may be that they have nothing to go on in relation to where to look for the person, you know. It's not all cases that warrant a search or where a search is practical, because if somebody just goes out and just doesn't come home, you have to start the donkey walk of, well, where might they have gone, who might they have been with, you know. So if you have information on where they were seen last, well, then obviously that's where you start from. But if you don't have anything to go on, well, then you know, that's, if you give us a ring, we can certainly help. From our experience, we can help and give advice and information in that particular regard.
I see as well the Gardaí have just launched an app regarding missing children.
We've been trying to bring about an app for missing persons for quite some time, and we had a couple of people that came forward and offered to do it for us, but nothing came of it. And I'm glad to see this app coming up for the Cry Alert, and that's basically to do with children. And you might recall late last week the alert was activated in response to a situation in Roscommon, and thankfully that was sorted out. So this is just another tool in that particular arsenal.
There is you've got to download it onto your phone. And it's the Child Rescue Alert app, and it's currently available for phones. It is a good idea, I suppose. Getting information out as soon and as fast as possible when you know there's a level to be concerned about, that's always going to help, especially in the case of last week where the kids then were identified in a car in a petrol station, and that worked out pretty well. Is there a website, Dermot, associated with yourselves?
Yeah, we are www.missingpersons.ie.
Okay.
Our helpline number is 1-800-442-552. And by the way, we also have another line called the Message Home Line. And I would implore anybody out there who is missing by choice and knows they're missing and or have lost contact with the family, it's a confidential service that we run where they can leave a message for the family. And once we've clarified that it is legitimate, we will pass on the message. And that number is 1-800-911-999.
We'll stick all those numbers up on our Facebook page. Do you get much traffic through that number?
We've got quite a few people ringing the number and hanging up, whether they're just people being inquisitive or people that are working up the courage to leave a message, I don't know. It was never going to be the case that we were going to get huge numbers of calls, despite the fact that in the UK they actually have, their helpline has a person sitting at that number 24/7, and sometimes they have two people working on it. So it's used mainly by runaways in the UK, but obviously economies of scale, we don't have the kind of resources they have to advertise the fact that it exists, and in a way we depend on I suppose situations like me speaking to you at the moment to advertise that it is there.
Okay, well listen, we will put those details up on our Facebook page. Dermot Brown, good talking to you.
Appreciate that.
Take care of yourself. See you now. Bye-bye. Interesting, actually, that this Sunday, Trevor Daly will be missing. Missing on the 8th of December in 2000. I always remember that because it was a night, the 8th of December was a night when we were having a Christmas party, one of the radio show I was on then, that we were actually having our Christmas party in town that night. And we were in around that particular area. And then next day the word went out, and then all the, for years and years now, every year there's a new campaign to try and find out what happened, Trevor. It was a particularly stormy night that night as well. And also, just reading there about Philip Kearns' mum, which many people remember, he went missing He was just coming home from school back in 1986, just coming home from school, and went missing, and no sight nor sound. I think the school bag was found and some school books were found, but to that day, 1986, not a single thing is known about Philip Cairns and how he disappeared and where he was and where he's gone. And that must be so difficult to deal with on a daily basis. Unbelievable. Okay, if you've got any concerns or affected by any of that, we will put up all the details on our Facebook page, the Colm Hayes Show Facebook page, and if you can help in that way.